Now, I hope you don't mind, but I'm going to use you as guinea pigs this morning. Did you have to look after guinea pigs as well as mice and Robin? No. The reason is I'm down to do an assembly in the school this coming Tuesday. Paula, the vicar in Hadstock, and Gavin, the Baptist minister, and I take turns to do assemblies once in a while in the school. And it's my turn this coming Tuesday. And when we do assembly, we're given a subject because the school has to go through the national curriculum and they have these kind of topics set for each week. It's almost like a lectionary. And the topic for this week is consideration. Consideration. And now, I thought at first I could talk about, you know, children being considerate to each other and to their parents and their teachers and things. But Mr. Brown, the headmaster, he's an absolutely star at doing things like that. He's very good at giving kind of moral messages to the children in ways that are meaningful to them. So I thought rather than talk about being considerate to each other, I'd talk to them about how considerate God is to us. So I hope you don't mind me giving a kind of dry run to you. Now I'm going to give you the grown-up version. I'm going to have to do some work to make it a bit more child-friendly. And I'd appreciate any thoughts on that, any illustrations or Bible passage that might be suitable. So this is the grown-up version of how considerate God is to us. Now, first of all, let's look at the dictionary. The dictionary tells us that consideration, the word consideration, actually means a number of things. But I think the meaning they're interested in is this one. It says, consideration is thoughtful or sympathetic regard or respect. Thoughtfulness for others. Thoughtful or sympathetic regard or respect. Thoughtfulness for others. So consideration is not just about being nice. It's about thinking about the other person and what they actually need. And to be really kind and helpful to others, we do need to be thoughtful. And that's what it means to be considerate. Now, obviously, I can talk to the children about their parents, and their parents do all sorts of things for them. And they must realize they're doing it because their parents are thinking hard about what is best for their children. And I think children would understand that. So this notion of consideration shouldn't be too foreign to them. And but I really wanted to talk about how considerate God is to us. Now, Christians believe that God created us to love us and so that we would return his love. That's the clear message of the Bible. Is that we are created, we exist, in fact, the whole universe exists for us to be able to receive God's love and to be able to respond to that love. But in order to do that, we need to know the one that we're loving. So we need to know God. It's no good trying to love someone or something if you don't know who or what it is. And God therefore needs to make himself known to us. And you can think about the different ways that God could have actually revealed himself to the human race. First of all, we know that God created the whole of the universe. And in a sense, you can see something of God in the world around us. We can see the beauty and we can see the order and the way that living things work together. Talked a bit about that last week. That somehow, you can see God's fingerprints on what he has made. But it doesn't tell us everything about God. It's almost like saying you could see a painting that was painted by someone and that painting would tell you all about that person. Now, the banner over there, Bozzy, my wife, painted, and it's a lovely banner, but it doesn't tell us all about Bozzy. I could tell you a lot more about her than you can ever work out from the banner. And that's the problem with just using creation as a way of actually understanding God. It tells you something about him. It tells you something about his beauty and his majesty and his power. But it doesn't tell you that about his nature. So that's the first way God can, in fact, does reveal himself to us. But it's not enough. Now, the other way God could, and in fact did, reveal himself to us is by inspiring people to talk about him, to tell us about him. And in fact, as we go through the Bible, go through the majority of the Bible, the Old Testament, we find there people whom God has inspired to actually tell us things about God, about him. We can think of Abraham and Moses and David and Elijah and all the other prophets. Each of them tells us a little bit about God. And as we go through the whole of the Old Testament, a picture of the nature of God begins to develop. But it's still not enough. As I said, I can tell you about my wife, Bozzie, but it's not the same thing as actually meeting her. So that's useful. It's very valuable to have those words and those messages in the Bible, which tell us something of the nature of God. But it's not enough still. And the third way that God could, and I believe does actually reveal to us, is allowing us to actually speculate on his nature. And that's really what the philosophers down through the centuries, people like Plato and Socrates and all the other philosophers over the centuries, have pondered on the nature of God and written down things and tried to work what God is like out through reason and through logic. But again, we know that's an imperfect way, because we can always make mistakes in our logic. We can always make mistakes in our reasoning. So these are three different ways that God can, and in fact did, reveal himself to the human race. Through his creation, through messages, through his people, and through reason and speculation. But God is so considerate to us and to our needs. And that's why we believe he came himself as a human being to planet Earth. Each of us has the ability to look at the creation and see what it's like and make up our ideas of what God is like from it. Each of us can listen to the words of the prophets. Each of us can speculate on the nature of God. But not all of us can do these things. They need some intellectual capability. But something we can all do, what virtually every member of the human race can do, is have some understanding of each other. Even the smallest child has some kind of understanding of those around him or her. We can actually understand each other. And so actually knowing a person is rather different from knowing about them. And that's exactly what God did when he came in the person of Jesus Christ, when he was born as a baby in that stable in Bethlehem. He actually took that final step out of his great consideration for us as human beings. The infinite God, which of course we can't possibly know the fullness of the nature of God. But he put himself into one human being. He became one human being and lived on earth for 33 years to show us what he is like, in a way that is actually available to every single member of the human race. And we have those four wonderful books in the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, describing those 33 years, giving us a direct picture of what he was like, written by those who were around him. And that's God's wonderful consideration to us. And he was so considerate, he didn't just appear on earth as a full-grown human being. He went through exactly the same process that all of us have gone through. That he was born, that he grew up as a child, and perhaps I can relate the children to that, that he grew up and went to school like they did. That he worked actually for at least 15 years as an engineer. And my previous job was being an engineer. I always think it's a noble profession that Jesus was also an engineer. And we call it a carpenter, but it's basically the same thing. So Jesus worked for 15 years or so, and then he started his ministry. And he went round the whole of the nation of Israel, basically showing what God is like in himself by being there for them. But he also didn't stop there. At the beginning of our service, we reminded ourselves that we do need to be forgiven. We all know that we've done stuff that we shouldn't have done, and that we need that wonderful gift that God gives us of forgiveness. And Jesus dealt with that when he died on the cross. He was executed as a common criminal. not for his own crimes, but for our crimes. For all the things that we do wrong, Jesus took the penalty. He paid the price when he died on the cross, that we can come before God and know that our sins are forgiven. Not through our own merits, not because we are wonderful people, but because of what Jesus did for us when he died. And he also fulfilled that need, that need deep inside us. This is the wonderful consideration of God, that we need to have this assurance of the life to come. We need to have an assurance that this life is not all that there is, that we can have a hope through Jesus, that we can follow him through death, through resurrection to the life to come. And by him coming back from the dead, by him rising from the dead on Easter Sunday, we have that assurance. This is just wonderful how considerate God has in dying, doing all these things for us. And we believe too passionately, and we know by experience that Jesus then poured out the Holy Spirit on his first disciples. On the day of Pentecost, 50 days after his death and resurrection, they first experienced the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon them when they rushed out and spoke in all these different languages so that the people who had come from all over the world could understand them. And down through the centuries, God has continued to pour out his Holy Spirit on us so that we actually might have a direct relationship with God. The Bible tells us that the gift of the Holy Spirit allows us to know Jesus living within us. And it allows us too to know that we are living within him. Something that's totally paradoxical, but we're talking about the spiritual here, not the physical. We're talking about having a direct relationship with Jesus, so that we can actually be in the same place as those disciples, the ones that wrote the Gospels, that we can actually know him. And therefore we can know all that's possible for human beings to know about God. We have that ability. And this, I believe, does show us how considerate God is. And of course, that wasn't the end of the picture too. Jesus started the church. And the church is what we are, is a body of people who gather together to share our experiences of Jesus, to be able to talk to each other about him, and to help each other to deepen our relationship with him. This is what the church has done. This is what the church has been down through the centuries. Groups of people just coming together to share their experience of God in the person of Jesus Christ. And what glues us together as a church is not the ideas that we have, not the doctrines that we might read. We're going to read the creed in a minute, which explains what we believe. But that isn't what glues us together. What glues us together is this person, this one man who lived on earth for 33 years, but is now living in each one of us, each one of us that's willing to follow him. So this is all the considerate God, everything that he has for us. And consideration in some ways seems quite a weak word when you put all that together, doesn't it? But it's actually the right word. Thoughtful or sympathetic regard or respect. Thoughtfulness for others. God actually thought about what we would need as human beings, and he provided all of it in the person of Jesus. Perhaps it just helps us to realize that we do worship a considerate God. So let's just pray, shall we? And then Sarah's going to lead us in our intercessions after the creed. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a considerate God, that you know our needs and you fulfill them. We thank you that you did come to planet Earth as a human being, so that we might know you, not just know about you. Help each of us to share our experiences of you. Help each of us to help others to come to know you as their Lord and Saviour. And help us, Lord, to worship you in spirit and in truth. We ask this in your name. Amen. So let's